Of course, today's 30-year-olds also saw their share of instructive videos whose style did not quite do justice to the substance.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Dr. Goodhealth, and we're going to talk about AIDS. Now, I'm sure you've all
They were the first Americans to come of age after AIDS was known about and talked about. Now, NPR's Jason Beaubien has this report about four 30-year-olds from the Boston area who recall learning about AIDS at the same time they were learning about sex.
In 1981, as 30-year-olds were turning 10 and 11, the Centers for Disease Control reported the first AIDS cases in the United States. Simone Parham grew up as one of the only African Americans in a small town in Oklahoma.
It was a weird immune deficiency thing that only affected gays. And so by the time I was 13 or 14, that's when we started hearing about how it can affect anyone.
It wasn't actually HIV at that point, it was GRID, gay-related immune deficiency. And I remember the Time magazine cover from my father's, Time magazine, that there was this weird thing going on.
James Woodard was growing up in a suburb of Hartford, Connecticut.
It definitely was, it just upped the ante. It was like one more thing to think about. It was like, here I am, I'm 14, 15 years old, I think I'm gay, and I think, I'm getting all this stuff, from other high schoolers, and it's so difficult and complicated, and how am I going to tell my family? And then, looming out there even bigger is, here's HIV,
And it wasn't just gay teenagers who felt AIDS looming over them. In the early 1980s, it seemed to be lurking everywhere. Rick Danielson remembers how in junior high school, he and a friend made a list of everyone they'd ever kissed and then went through it name by name, trying to determine whether or not they were infected.
Sex is scary enough to a 13-year-old. To then have someone tell you that if you have sex, you could die, that whole sort of dark, mysterious world got a lot darker.
When I think of AIDS, I always think of my uncle.
Christina Russo's uncle Philip was the wild member of the family. He played in a band. He lived in the big city, Boston.
I worshipped him. He was a lot younger than my dad. He was also beautiful. Beautiful skin, long brown hair.
When Christina was in high school, her 32-year-old uncle got sick. At first, her parents told her he had cancer. Then it was a brain tumor. When Christina was allowed to visit him, her mother warned her not to kiss him.
There was no way I could have prepared myself for how ravaged his body was. It was like he had just gotten almost really old. Like his hair was really gone. There was just pieces of it left. His face was gaunt, and he didn't look real. He looked like someone had created this body now to show you how bad things can get.
At his funeral, no one mentioned AIDS or HIV. His paid obituary asked that contributions be made to the American Cancer Society. As Christina and her peers grew older, knowledge of the disease also grew. Simone Parham, however, notes that this wasn't necessarily an improvement.
After we learned, okay, it's not a gay disease, the next group of people that you saw on the news that were withering away and dying and damn it, they deserved it. They were mostly black. They were black Haitians. They were black drug addicts. They were, black city people. It wasn't just that I felt like I was more likely to get it. Instead, it was just yet another thing that I could look at and say, oh, another strike against me as a black person.
As the epidemic evolved, Christina and the others changed with it.
I went to college and it was about AIDS and, dental dams and condoms were always in the bathroom and, we're all trying to protect ourselves constantly.
When I was 20, if I had met someone who was HIV positive to date, I probably, and this is, brutal honesty, I probably would have liked to have said, sure, I date an HIV positive person and then found a way to get out of it. And now as a 30-year-old, it's really integrated into sex and dating, and it's just sort of a fact of life as a gay guy, in 2001. If I met an HIV-positive person, that I fell in love with, then that would just be part and parcel of the deal,
I almost feel like AIDS came to us in this big tsunami, and then it went away. And now, I had a friend who went to see her gynecologist, and she said something, about not having safe sex. And her gynecologist said, honey, nobody's having safe sex anymore.
Christina Russo is 30 and lives in Boston. James Woodard has spent the last 10 years working for AIDS service agencies in Massachusetts. Simone Parham is a book editor. She lives in Cambridge with Rick Danielson. Jason Beaubien, NPR News, Boston.